How is Trump doing so far in his presidency? We're going to talk about that right now in this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a returning guest, Bill Federer, who is an author and speaker. In fact, I should say really best-selling author. And in fact, one of his books, his most famous book, America's God and Country, was actually cited by the U.S. Supreme Court, which I still think is phenomenal. Bill, it's so great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Jerry, great to be with you.
Okay, so let's get right to it. Here we are at the threshold of a new year. How is Trump doing so far? I can never recall a presidency that got off to a bit of an awkward start, you know, in the same way, partly because I think the other side won't even recognize or acknowledge that he's the duly elected president, and, you know, even the former candidate, as in Hillary, said, "I'm joining the resistance." Really? You know, so anyway, let's talk about this. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think he has done an amazing job, especially with the negative media coverage. CNS and different groups that monitor the media said that President Obama, at this time in his presidency, got continual positive coverage. Remember, he got the Nobel Peace Prize without having actually done anything. He was getting positive coverage, and at the end of the year, he had a certain favorability rating. Trump, as has been reported, has had virtually complete negative coverage.
Yeah.
And yet at the end of the year, he has the similar favorable ratings as Obama did. So if the media had been consistent, Trump would obviously be a whole lot higher in his favorability. So in an honest estimation, he's done a very positive job. The economy's been great. He has brought businesses back into the country. The Dow has reached unbelievable heights. And he has also portrayed strength on a global scale. The one thing that I found very important is his recognition of Israel. And there were different video clips of President Obama promising the Jews that he would recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and President Trump fulfilled on Obama's promise. one question was with the Department of Justice and the FBI bending all the rules that to allow Hillary to get off the hook for her use of a private email server and so forth.
Yeah.
And also for using her position as Secretary of State to do, in a sense, a Jesse Jackson shakedown, Rainbow Coalition. For those not familiar, Jesse Jackson would go into business offices and say that you donate money to my Rainbow Coalition or I'm going to stir up a lot of negative press and riots and so forth regarding your business. And so they would basically donate. Well, Hillary did this on a global scale by going to different countries saying, "I'm the Secretary of State. If you want to do any business with America, you've got to donate money to my Clinton Foundation." And there was a coordinated scheduling of the Clinton Foundation with the Secretary of State's office illegally to use her position. Her husband would be doing speeches for multiple millions of dollars, and then those countries would get favorable status. So clearly illegal, but the Department of Justice and the FBI allowed these things to go unaddressed. And so it looks like they used a tactical psychological projection. People familiar with terms psyops, which means a psychological operation. But the term psychological projection is you accuse your opponent of what you're guilty of.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are maybe trading fifth of the U.S. uranium to Russia in exchange for $145 million of contributions to the Clinton Foundation. If you're guilty of collusion with the Russians, you want to accuse your opponent of doing the exact same thing. It's a very successful political tactic. Let's say you're a candidate, you're running for office, and you've just found out that your opponent is going to release negative commercials accusing you of financial mismanagement. So what's your response? You immediately hold a press conference and accuse your opponent of financial mismanagement. You grab the headlines, and they all are attacking your opponent. Your opponent all of a sudden has to come clean and say, look, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. And even if they air their ads, now it looks like it's tit for tat and the public is confused and you get a pass on it. So that's the tactic. And
so it really kind of muddies the water.
Right. And then the public says, you don't know who's right. They're all crooks. And basically you get a pass on it without having to address the issues. It's called obfuscation.
Yeah.
Intentionally being obscure. Mm-hmm. And so what it looks like is they were intending to use this against Trump, sort of the way that the IRS was politicized by the Obama administration, Lois Lerner specifically targeting conservative groups. So instead of it being a nonpartisan agency, it's now an arm of the Democrat Party. And so basically Obama did that also with the FBI and the CIA and these different agencies, which ironically, if you indict Mike Flynn on lying to the FBI, yet the FBI has become a political arm of the Democrat Party, you're basically accusing him of lying to the Democrat Party. That obviously is not as wrong as it would have been if the FBI had been objective. That's the first plan. It looked like to me that the first year of Trump's administration, they were trying to do this political tactic called psychological projection, projecting their inappropriate activity upon him. He seems to have survived that, and I am pleased with that. The second was a plan that looked like it was going to surface of trying to get Trump's cabinet to do some obscure act and vote him out. That seems like it's not going to take place. Roger Stone, who is Trump's former advisor, recently made a comment that Plan C would be to of the deep state would be to take out Trump, and so
assassinate.
There's an important call for those that support him to pray for him that they don't do. But it's when in my estimation, a miracle that he got in. And so it's a sort of a continual miracle that we need to be praying for. Hmm. For those of us that believe in patriotic God and country, traditional values, natural marriage, and so forth.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing, too, along all those lines, Trump's appointees for the judges have been very positive and very good. Now, how about a comment about Roy Moore? Because I know the Democrats are going to try and hold that against Trump in the midterm elections and say, look, you know, Trump supported Roy Moore. And unfortunately, Roy Moore has these allegations against him and has not yet had the time to clear his name. And I pray he will if he's innocent, assuming he's innocent. And so your comments on Roy Moore.
When the left has to go back 40 years into somebody's past to dig up dirt on that individual, they are, in a sense, admitting that for the last 40 years, that person has been living above reproach. And so this, again,
they did claim in one case that supposedly something happened in 1991, and that would be, you know, less than 40 years ago. But I'm not even sure that that had any credibility because the mother would have been in the courtroom at the same time. And I don't know. That one, but it was more recent, that's all. Anyway, go ahead.
And the fact that testimony of these witnesses seems to be inconsistent. The one having actually admitted that she wrote a note in her yearbook, trying to ascribe the note to Roy Moore, and then later admitting that she wrote it in there, damages it. And then, so I ran for Congress against Dick Gephardt years ago, and I had people that were conservative Democrats. For those not familiar, Gephardt was the House Minority Leader. He had started as a conservative pro-life Democrat, and then he, as he moved up in the party, moved in a leftward direction, embracing abortion and the gay agenda. And people in the district didn't know about it, and I was bringing that to his attention. We had people that were involved in politics that were conservative Democrats, so they were sort of on our side, and they would be telling us stuff of their plans. And one of them, a campaign manager at the time, Joyce Abusi, was known for doing the type of tactics that have been used against Roy Moore. And that is basically looking for what they call it. One of the names for Satan is calumniator. It's a column of accusations, any one of which on its own would not carry much weight, but when you present a column of them, then you end up presenting something that seems very convincing. And that's what they did. Any one of these in and of itself would have been very small, but they bring up quite a number of them in a small amount of time, and it seems very convincing. We have to realize that the control of the Senate is very important.
Yeah.
Those with a liberal agenda lost the presidency, so the Senate is critical. If they're, and so we really saw a national effort and maybe even a global effort against Roy Moore, and they were using every single trick in the book. And so anyway, in my campaign, we had those telling us that they would attempt to have maybe a woman of the night come up at some meeting and give you a hug and want to get a picture taken, and then later come up with some accusation. And so we ended up having people always around me so that that type of thing wouldn't happen, very similar to Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Had a practice of always having men standing around him.
Good for him.
So that some woman couldn't come up and give him a hug and snap a quick picture and use it as with a story that he was doing some inappropriate things. But this is the idea that they throw mud against the wall and it sticks. And if you don't have the money and resources to clean your name, then you're the public is left believing the lies.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. And but
again, I know Roy Moore. He's a very honorable man.
Yeah.
In my estimation.
Me too. I agree.
40 years to dig up dirt on him.
But and here's the thing.
Admission on their part that he's been above reproach for the last 40 years.
Yeah, there is one the one accusation involving a girl when she was 14 and Lee Korfman. And, you know, Romney, without even looking at Roy Moore's side of it, just said, oh, I believe Lee Korfman. You know, like, I believe this accuser. And Lee Korfman, if she were put on trial as a witness or whatever, I could just imagine the trial attorneys making mincemeat of her. I mean, she said even in the article, the Washington Post article, the one that ultimately sunk him, November 9th, 2017. I remember this. I lost sleep over Roy Moore. I like the guy. I've interviewed him before and stuff. Anyway, she said in the article itself, hey, anybody who knows me knows I'm no saint. You know, I'm no saint. Okay, here she said she's been bankrupt 3 times, she's been married 3 times, divorced 3 times. She claimed that she was talking to Roy Moore in a telephone in her bedroom. Her mom said, that's impossible. 1979, we didn't have a cordless phone that could somehow go into her room. She didn't have a cell phone. There's no way she spoke with him on the phone. And then there were all kinds of inconsistencies in terms of, you know, she said, well, he picked me up at such and such a corner. Well, it turns out that would have been about a mile away or whatever. So there's just one hole in her story after another. But if what she said was true, then Roy Moore was a scoundrel, you know, even if it happened 70 years ago. Well, that's impossible. He's only 70 years old. But you get the idea. Anyway, we're almost out of time, but how about just a closing thought in terms of Trump and maybe how we ought to pray for our country?
There is what I consider Obama holdovers in many of the departments.
Yeah.
And
State Department.
I think they've been continuing to push his Obama's agenda. Many in the courts, I still think that there is a very intolerant LGBT agenda. In other words,
yeah.
They want to be tolerated, but they do not want to tolerate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I also see Islam. The hesitancy of individuals like McMaster not wanting to label the ideology as a
dangerous,
fundamentally terrorist,
yeah.
Antithetical to our Western beliefs of equality, treatment of women, and so forth. I think FDR even named Hitler. He named Nazism. He named
the Japanese,
imperialistic Japan.
Right.
He named the enemy, and I think it's very detrimental to say no. They've hijacked something. No, we need to name that the fundamentalist ideology of the fundamental Islam that is a threat to our system, and I think that there are those that are still Obama holdovers wanting to push his agenda. And my prayer is that we continue to see a purging of his circle and bring back people that are not pushing for some ulterior motives, but really have the country in mind.
Bill Federer, AmericanMinute.com. Thanks so much for joining us, Bill. God bless and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.